Once again, welcome to another segment of Reclaiming History, airing on WOOC 105.3 FM, The Sanctuary. This is Livonia Mallory, and I'm still on my couch during the COVID virus, waiting on a call from our congressman, Congressman Tonko. He has decided to have a virtual town hall meeting. Stay tuned. Hello.
Hello, this is Congressman Paul Tonko. I'm calling to invite you to join me for a town hall meeting that is happening right now about the coronavirus. Please stay on the line, and you, along with hundreds of others from across our congressional district, will be instantly connected with me and local experts. This is your opportunity to ask me and the experts questions about the coronavirus. Again, please stay on the line, and you will be connected to listen in to our live telephone town hall meeting. If you cannot join the call today, feel free to call my office anytime. The number is 518-465-0700. Thanks.
Please hold while we connect you to your Access Live event. Congressman?
Hey, thank you so much, Courtney, and good evening, everyone. As your congressman, I'm most thankful for your taking the time. I'm also painfully aware the coronavirus has had a significant impact on our community, our state, and our nation. And during this national health crisis, and perhaps I should stretch that to an international health crisis, it is even more important that we remain connected to share facts and information, to ask questions, and most importantly, to provide support to one another. I know that there are many questions rolling in, and I want to be sure we get to as many of them as possible. But first, let me acknowledge that you'll hear from myself, along with several members of our Capital Region community, who are serving in various roles on the front lines of this crisis. So tonight, we're joined by Andrew Kennedy, who is President and CEO of the Center for Economic Growth, by Dr. Eliza Whalen, who is Commissioner of the Albany County Department of Health, by Mr. Angelo Calboni, President and CEO of Saratoga Hospital, and finally, by Dr. Mary Cho LaPasta, Senior Vice President of Patient Care and Organizational Excellence, and Chief Nursing Officer, also of Saratoga Hospital. So thank you, one and all, for taking the time to join with us and share valuable insight this evening. Before we begin taking questions, I would like to provide a brief update on my efforts in Washington to address the coronavirus pandemic. Last Friday, Congress passed and the President signed into law the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, better known as CARES. The CARES Act is a $2 trillion stimulus package that will begin to address the impacts of coronavirus on American families, on our businesses, and our communities. Some of the key provisions of this law include funding to support our hospitals, our health systems, and health research, and most importantly, the workforce that serves those efforts. It also provides funding for state and local governments to begin to help alleviate the fiscal impacts of the crisis, provides for the expansion of unemployment insurance benefits to laid-off or furloughed workers. It directs cash payments to lower and middle-income Americans. It expands grant and loan programs for small businesses. It provides education funding to help with distance learning, as well as deferring federal student loan repayments through September. And also, it eliminates secret bailouts and increased special oversight requirements that are provided to ensure that resources are used to address the crisis at hand. So there's much more information to share, and the panel and I are eager to begin answering your questions and addressing any concerns you may have. So with that, Courtney, why don't we begin?
Thank you, Congressman. Congressman, you've got a lot of questions right now, and I'm going to try to summarize them. Has anything that you've been working on been included in the bill that was recently signed into law?
Yes, items including the testing kits, making certain that they be as available and plentiful as possible, and certainly on personal protective equipment and masks, and also on making certain that mental health resources are made available in this bill. You know, in a sense, fear itself is a threat to many. And so we wanted to make certain that for the mental health portion of health response, that we include additional payments there. So there are dollars for mental health resources, I believe, to the tune of $425 million, and then additional dollars for the suicide prevention hotline. So those are efforts that we really wanted to champion. We had many, many members of Congress join. join on to a letter that we wrote, a bipartisan letter to the leadership of Congress, to the bipartisan leadership, and some 74 members joined us in that effort. And as I said, we have $425 million for emergency mental health and substance use programs, and then $50 million added for the suicide prevention hotline.
Thank you, Congressman. And Dr. Wayland, we've got Kim in Saratoga on the line with a question we'd like to direct to you. Good evening, Kim.
Hi. Question is, if it is possible to test all the healthcare workers and emergency workers to see if they have had coronavirus and make this a priority so that we could feel more at ease taking care of patients?
So the question is a little different than testing people for coronavirus. You're talking about testing people for antibodies to show that people have actually had the disease. And this is something that we're really looking into because it would give people a degree of surety if they know they had coronavirus in the past. The information we have on coronavirus is that 80% of people get a fairly mild course, and in fact, some people can be asymptomatic. So knowing that you have had the disease and that you've developed antibodies would be a reassurance, because the theory is that this would prevent you from getting it again. We are still learning a lot about coronavirus and can't at this point assure people that if they had an antibody test and it was positive, it would assure them complete protection. That's something we're still learning about. The availability of the antibody test at this point, I have not heard of availability. I have heard recently of a commercial lab that is making some headway into developing this test and marketing it. But in terms of availability, at this point, we are still awaiting widespread availability. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Whelan. And Congressman, we've got Kim on the line with a question we'd like to direct to you. Good evening, Kim.
Sure. Hello, Kim.
Yes. Senior citizens that do not file for taxes said they only get their Social Security. Will they be eligible to get the stimulus? And if so, do they have to do anything to retrieve that money?
Well, there's interestingly a debate right now. We have intended, the intent with the legislation from our perspective is that the Social Security Administration will share information for its beneficiaries with IRS to help ensure that these beneficiaries will receive an automatic advance payment. I believe there's some 30 million people that may qualify under Social Security that do not file. And today there was some news that perhaps they were requiring a simple form to be addressed. However, I will tell you, our Ways and Means Chair, Richie Neal, in neighboring Massachusetts, has taken that fight up, saying that we want to streamline this. There are ways to certainly work through the Social Security Administration to avoid that. So that is in flux right now, but we encourage people to reach out to IRS to make certain that they get included as Social Security recipients.
Thank you, Congressman. Right now we've got Kevin on the line with a question we'd like to direct to Andrew Kennedy. Good evening, Kevin.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you, Congressman. We're just starting to run a business, and we currently have to lay off 60% of our books, which we were able to pay them. But the remaining 40 are kind of coming to us now when they hear about the package and kind of that bowing out of working. And we're trying to keep the business open and operating because we're a restaurant, which is deemed essential because we're providing food, but they're going to make much more money between the package, between the state and the federal, and they're not going to show, they're not going to stay working. So if you guys working on any way to kind of tweak the law so that we can maintain the people working?
Part of the stimulus package that was passed and signed into law, there are programs that you are eligible for as a business owner as a way to help cover your payroll expenses for your employees, right? There's a program that's going to be going live on Friday. It's called the Paycheck Protection Program, and that's a program where you as a small business owner can apply for loans, a fixed rate at a low cost, that will be deferred and potentially be forgiven to cover your payroll costs as well as your other operating costs such as rent and your utility obligations. That's something that we can help you complete and work with you over the next few days to get this information in as a way to help keep your employees on board, not having them go on to the unemployment rolls, and keeping your business going and continuing to support our economy here in the Capital Region.
Hey, Courtney, I could just address a bit of that also, thank Andrew Ford for his comments, but let me also add that with the paycheck
100% federally guaranteed loan. If your payroll, if some of your employees leave, but you still maintain that same employee count, you will still qualify.
Thank you all for that.
Oh, hi. My question is, what is happening as a plan to ramp up testing in our area? I run a doctor's office, and we had about 10 days where we could send patients for tests, and now we can't send anybody unless they need to go to the emergency room.
This is Angelo Calzoni. And you're expressing a frustration that we all have. The state lab, Wadsworth, has done just a spectacular job, but there's not enough product, there's not enough testing material in the system to do the level of testing that we've seen in other countries, and it's frustrating all of us. As an example, the testing medium where the swabs are placed, we couldn't get any more of that. The very smart people in our lab and pharmacy were able to create some of that medium so we could pick the testing back up. But for this to get solved where we could ever do broad immunity testing like we've seen in South Korea, there really needs to be concerted effort at the federal level to create the quantity of product to do this. At this time, our stock of available testing material is sufficient to address the needs of our staff, hospitalized patients, and any serious concerns in the community that get referred to us. We try to do our very best to do that, but we simply do not have enough testing material to do the broad open community testing that we would really like to do. I don't know if Mary Jo, if you have anything to kind of round that answer out or not.
I think you summarized it well, Angelo. We find ourselves in that difficult position. Thank you, Congressman, and thanks to our medical experts, Congressman Tonko.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Courtney, for the excellent job this evening. Thank you to all of our participants. And tonight's Dr. LaPasta. Thank you, President Calzoni. Thank you, Dr. Whalen. And thank you, President Kennedy, for all the work that you've done with us here this evening and that you do routinely to respond to this crisis. I apologize that we weren't able to get to every question this evening, but if you would like to leave a voicemail with your question or comment for response from my office, calling my office, let me also take the moment to thank my coworkers. Let's build hope and let's respond and conquer this coronavirus, and let's make certain that we underpin and strengthen our economy as we go forward.